Is everybody doing good tonight? All right. Turn to John chapter 15. Glad to see some of you that are already here for the conference. It's going to be a great conference. I'm getting excited about it. Hallelujah. John chapter 15. Find it on your device, in your Bible, on your phone, whatever. Okay? Because I see people turning pages. I see people on their deal. All right. Let's see. I'm looking on the front row. When I see most of the people down front have found it, I go. All right. Here we go. Verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. In other words, that means he takes care of them. All right. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he will take away. And every branch that bears fruit, he will prune, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you cannot do anything. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them, and they throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now I want you to pay particular attention. We're going to zero in on verse 7. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. Now I want to look at that in a couple other translations. The New International says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given. Now, the Living Bible says it like this, but if you stay in me and obey my commands, you may ask any request you like and it will be granted. I feel like I'm getting some feedback on the sound here. Maybe you need to turn it down a little bit or something. I don't know. Now, let's look at it. If you abide in me. Now, the Greek word used here is meno. That word means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. To stay in a given place. Now, where we live, our home, is where we abide. That's where we stay. In the same way, our spiritual home is in Christ. That's where we abide. Now, you know, we ought to always stay in a place of fellowship with Christ. We need to always be in a state of righteousness with God. We always need to be in a right relationship. We always need to be in a state of expectancy. Now, in order to consistently, constantly, and continually abide with Christ, there are three words that we need to consider. Now, those three words are some words that some people don't like to hear: dedication, consecration, and commitment. Now, that's three words that require action out of you. There's a lot of people that want to live with God, but they don't want to have to do anything. They want God to do it all.
But as we work with God, we have our side of it. He has his side of it. Now, of course, getting in a right relationship with Christ happens when we accept Christ as our Savior, okay? However, if we're going to continue in an active relationship, we have to have continual dedication to the Lord and to the Word and into the will of God. We have to consecrate ourselves daily to what the Word of God tells us that we need to do. Are y'all here? Y'all gone home already? Y'all awful quiet. I guess y'all listening. Now, then we have to make a commitment to the Word of God. When you're committed to something, you're there for the long haul. I mean, you're committed to it. I'm here and nothing's going to move me. I'm committed to this. You know, I told my son this when he was playing in school, playing sports, and Denise, I said, if you sign up and commit to do something, I said, I don't care whether you don't like it or not. Once you commit to it, you're going to fulfill it. You're going to fulfill your commitment. I tell my grandsons that. And you know, because if you're going to get involved with something and then commit yourself to it, then you stay with it. I don't care how bad it gets or how much you don't like it. You stay with it. See, now, one of the major ways that we continually abide in an active relationship with Christ is in the Word, through the Word of God, being in, you know, first of all, abide in me. Well, you get in him and you abide in him through your salvation. That's the way you do that, okay? Now, once you're there, now there's another part of this scripture. And my words abide in you. Did you know there's a lot of people that are abiding in Christ? They're saved, but the Word is not in them. And they're always asking for stuff, and they're always wondering why they're not getting anything, and they see their friends getting something. It says here, you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now, again, that same Greek word is used there for abide is meno, to stay in a given place. The key to a victorious life is having the Word of God abiding in you. You don't get the Word of God abiding in you by reading one quick verse of scripture and running. You have to read it with concentration. You know, you may have to read a scripture two or three times in order for it to really register with you. Did you know that you can read something, and if you're not concentrating on it, if you're not, you can read something and not be concentrating on it, and it does not affect you in the least. In fact, if somebody calls your attention to it, you'll say, oh, I don't remember that. Now, husbands are bad about this. Their wives tell us something, and then we say, I don't remember that. Come on, how many of you guys be honest? Come on, I need some help here, guys. Come on, give me some help. All right. You know why? Because I was watching a football game, or I was doing something else, and she said something. I heard her, but her words didn't abide. Hello. I mean, that's a great illustration. Some of you young guys ain't married yet. Y'all will find this out pretty soon. How many of you got kids? Especially teenagers. Well, Daddy, I never heard you say that. Mama, I didn't. When did you tell me to take out the trash? Now, I see a lot of you laughing because I just took you back a few years. How many guys in here, you ladies on it, but how many of you guys, well, you know, my mother, and you can go with me here. My mother said, Ken, I told you to take out the trash. Well, yeah, Mama, I didn't hear you say that. Anybody ever been there besides me? I got a few guys that's with me. Why? They said it, you heard it, but you didn't hear it. Come on now, listen. See, that's why the Word of God comes back and says, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, because He already know you're not going to get it the first time. That's why He tells you have to do it again. You got to go over and over it again. See, the key to victorious Christian living is having the Word abiding in us. The key to continue fellowship with Him is the Word abiding in you. The key to answered prayer is knowing what the Word says. Come on now. Now, having the Word abiding in us sets us up, or enables, maybe it'd be another word, to know what the will of God is. There are a lot of people that are praying about the will of God, and if they'd read the Bible, they already know what the will of God is. The Bible already plain in it. One of the things I remember as a kid, I was about, I don't know how old, but anyway, this lady came, Dad was still pastoring, and this lady came, and she had talked to Dad before about marrying a guy. And he had told her, well, number one, y'all are unequally yoked and will be unequal, and so forth and so on. But she came and she said, now, Brother Hagin, would you mind after church tonight? I want to stay in the church and I want to pray all night long about this marriage. That's, well, no, you're going to waste your time. The Bible already told you. No, I believe. So she stayed in the church and she prayed all night long. And then she come back and said, well, the Lord said it'd be all right if I marry him. And Dad said, no, he didn't either. Because that's, he don't, his word says one thing. She did. And it wasn't 3 weeks after they got married, she showed up on the front porch of the parsonage, all beat up. And Dad said, I told you. You see, some people, they don't want to take what the will of God says here, so they start praying, thinking God's going to change his mind. Now, if you remember, Israel didn't have a king and they wanted one, and the priest said, I don't think this would be a good idea, but they got a king anyway. Worst thing ever happened to them. See, too many people, they think they can change God's mind. The Word says it. That's it. Okay? You see, it said to be able to ask in prayer for something than to receive it, then you have to have the Word abiding in you. Now go to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. When we have the Word abiding in us, when we do pray, and while you're turning there, we will pray in accordance with the will of God. We won't pray asking out of the will of God. If we have the Word abiding in us, we will pray in line with the Word. Now, 1 John 5:14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now see, here is the real deal of having the word abiding in you, is because you can have confidence when you pray that you will ask in line with the will of God and know that it will come to pass for you. See, many people are actually born again and they're in a relationship with Christ from out of being born again. But some of those people never get the word in them. They never read it very much. They don't take time to meditate and study on the word. Come on, don't look at me like I fell out of a tree. They don't look at getting in the word as a high priority. Getting in the word and having it abide in you should be one of the highest priorities that you have. Because, as we read, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you'll ask what you've done, it shall be done. Anything we receive because we abide in him and his words abide in us. Then we have the confidence to ask. See, because these people they've been born again, but the word is not abiding in them. They have limited victory to walk in. They're limited in their level of commitment to God. They are limited in how successful their Christian life is. You see, he said to his followers, in John 8:31, he said, John 8:31. See, he said it to all his disciples. And this is what he said: if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Then he went on to say, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, everybody's always talking about, oh, you can know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's only when it's abiding in you that it's going to make you free. So I said, oh, no, isn't that what it just says right here? Yes, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When are you going to know the truth and when it's going to make you free? When you abide in his word. Right or wrong? You know, when you abide in his word, then it says that you're his disciple, follower. Then it says when you abide in the word, you will know the truth. And then it says abiding in that word and knowing the truth will set you free. See, when you know the truth of God's word, the enemy can't hound you with stuff and get you messed up because you know the truth. When he brings stuff, it's not truth. It's junk. Hello. If you abide in me or abide in him, you might want to say it that way. That indicates that you have a relationship. If you abide in him, indicates that you have a relationship with Christ. Now, my word abiding in you shows that you are qualified to experience that all that God has for you. You know, have you ever had to do something to get qualified? Yes. In college, sometimes you have to take one course in order to be qualified to take this next course. Right? You see, when we get born again, that indicates we have a relationship with Christ. But when his words abide in us, it gives us the qualification to have this word become a part of our life and everything in it. See, you have to be qualified. How many of you work on a job that one of the things that it said when you applied for that job is you had to have the proper qualifications? Whether it was an education, whether it was experience, whether it was leadership capacity, whatever. You had to be qualified. If you want to get qualified to receive everything that God said belongs to you, then get the word in you. It's got to abide in you. Okay? Yeah. You know, if the word is in you, then God will be he will work for you. If his word is not into you, even though you have a relationship with him, he is limited to the degree that he can work with you because you're not fully qualified. How many understand what I'm saying to you? I didn't say you wasn't saved, didn't say you wasn't born again. But if the word, it says right here, if the word's not abiding in you, then you can't ask for all these things and expect them to come. I mean, no, I'm saying opposite what the Bible said, but that's what it said. If you turn around and focus on it, if you abide in me, my word's abide in you. Ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. So the other side of that is that if you are born again, you have a relationship, but his words is not abiding in you. You can't ask what you desire and expect to get it. Is that not correct? According to what that scripture says. Come on then. Now, the question that is in front of us then needs to be, what level of word is continually abiding in me? Yes, good question. Yes, yes. Am I operating on a half a tank of God's word, a quarter a tank, or I'm operating on a full tank? Your car will run on a quarter tank of gas, but it's not going to run that far. You can receive some things because you got a little bit of the word abiding in you. But you're not going to receive as much as somebody else that has a full tank of the word abiding in them. How many understand what I'm saying to you there? How many of you know people that they read the word and again the word, but it's not on a consistent basis? Come on, be honest. It's not on a consistent. Well, you know what? They're operating on a half or a quarter tank. And then a lot of times they say, well, you're always getting your prayers answered. See, you can tell them, well, I got a full tank. See, I got the word biting in me daily. You just get a little bit every once in a while. Come on now. Anybody get anything out of this? See, this question, what is the level of the word that's abiding in you, will immediately tell you your level of faith. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. If you're getting a lot of word, then your faith is going to be strong. If you're not getting into the word like you should, your faith's not going to be that strong. Yes. Amen. See, now we come back to this last part of that verse of scripture. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Well, if this was the only scripture that said that, then you might be able to say, well, you can't ask God for whatever you want and expect him to give it to you, you know. But there are many other scriptures that tell us the same thing. Of Psalms 37:4. That's in the Old Testament if you don't know. Psalms, Proverbs. It's right after. Okay, here we go. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart.
Yes. Amen.
Matthew 7:11. Get ready to go, because I've got several of these, so you have to go quick, all right? Matthew 7:11. No, I didn't say the 7-Eleven store. I said Matthew. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you give you good things to those who ask him? Now go to Mark 11:24. Y'all know that one. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you might get them. You will have them. Go to John 13. John 13. John 14:13. There we go. I got it finally. John 14:13. Got it? And whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14:14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Then John 16:24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now turn over to James. James 1. James 1:5. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask the God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of a sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now go to 1 John 5. We already read this once. We're going to read it again. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Remember, we were talking about, we will ask, if we have the word abiding in us, we're going to ask in line with the will of God. Okay? And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked for. So we can see from these verses of scripture that he's ready to give us what belongs to us in line with his word. But it all comes back to abiding in him and the word abiding in us. See, we must understand before we get to this part three, we got part one and two to take care of. You know, it's real difficult to have pick up. I mean, you know, they have these deals on TV, and they have movies where they got one, two, three, you know, in the movie, like, what was it, Rocky? They had Rocky, and then Rocky, and then two, and three, and four, and I think they even got five. It's very hard to understand Rocky five if you don't know nothing about Rocky one, two, three, and four. Hello? I mean, that's sort of a crude illustration, but that gets my point across. What I'm trying to say is that you can't jump to the third part of this verse of scripture without being involved with the first parts one and two. Right, right. How many understand what I'm saying to you? There's a lot of people wanting stuff from God, but do they have a relationship with him first? Secondly, is his word abiding in them? Now they qualify for the third thing to happen. You know, I see sometimes people, sometimes I see ministers that I could help them. I could give them some really good information on ministry because I've been there. But I don't have a relationship with that person. So I am not qualified to step into their life and begin to say anything. Hello? Now, God operates the same way. If you don't have a relationship with him and his word, then you're not qualified for him to step in and start giving you what the word says for you that's yours. Let me understand that. Now, just the other day, it's been maybe a year back or so. And I was somewhere, I don't know, around here on campus somewhere. And a couple of my grandsons come up with some other kids. And they said, "Poppy, we need some money." But them other boys didn't ask me for money. Why? They weren't qualified. Do you get the picture of what I'm talking about? Now, because I knew those boys, they had grown up here in the church too. When I gave my grandsons money, I gave them money too, just as a gesture. That was good. Yes. Sometimes God may give you a little tidbit, hoping that it will get you over into the other part of that scripture. You know, tonight, say it with me. I will abide in Christ. I will continually, consistently, constantly allow God's word to abide in me. Then I can ask for what I want in the will of God, and it will be done for me. Because I abide in him, and his word abides in me, I am qualified to ask for my desires to be met according to the word of God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Did anybody get anything out of that tonight? Just another way of teaching something I've already taught. And, you know, that's all that we need to do. Sometimes people get one way, sometimes another. I've taught on that before, but not exactly like that. Taught a little different. Did you get anything? Everybody stands up. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for everyone that's in this place. Father, I pray that they will have gotten a hold of what was needed from this message for their life. Not everybody needed everything, but everybody needed some of it. And Father, may they take that part and begin to adjust their life in line with what was said tonight. so that the word of God begins to work for them in every area of their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, if you happen to be in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, see these fine looking ladies right here and see these fine looking gentlemen over here. If you'll come down here and pray with them as we dismiss, you won't leave here like you came. If you need to rededicate your life, if you need a no-so experience, you say, I just go to church. I don't know whether I'm born again or not. Or you want prayer to receive the Holy Spirit, or you need healing, or you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, as we're dismissed, come down here to the front and pray with them. Connection team, go find those first-time guests right now. Take them to that special place to receive that special gift that we put together for them. Hey, guys, tomorrow night, right here, what's the time? What time does it start? 7 o'clock. The men's conference, okay? I didn't even know what time it started. Because everything, I go to different places and things start at different times. And so I didn't want to get the wrong time. Hey, if you're watching on the internet out there, hey, you still got time to get here and be here by tomorrow night. And it's going to be a great conference. You need to come. Hey, remember all of the announcements, but especially the announcements for We Care. At this time of the year, there's so many families that are in need. And we especially like to try to help those families with Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners. And so we need you to bring in a lot of stuff. Brother Bill tells me that it is really, really short on the shelves over there. And so we need to restock, okay? So remember that. Remember all the other announcements. Turn around and shake hands with somebody, and we'll see you tomorrow night, guys, right here. And then for the rest of you, Sunday morning right here, 9 o'clock School of the Bible, 10 o'clock morning worship service. Hallelujah. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front now, right now. God bless.